Morning. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. Hopefully my thoughts will be encouraging and edifying to you. As we look at, if I gave Jay the topic with this would be disciplines of the mind. And we're going to look at a few different things. We're going to look at three things that we should not focus on in our lives and three things that we should focus on. I'm sure that we could discuss this openly and come up with many, many other things that we should talk about or could talk about. But these are what I have chosen to talk about today. I appreciate Munden reading that passage for me. The passage really sticks out to me because in the beginning there it talks about a spiritual warfare. And we may not realize it, but we're constantly at battle. There's constantly a spiritual battle going on in our lives. Especially if you have obeyed the gospel. There's a constant struggle for us to do the right thing. For us to think the right thoughts and fulfill the right actions as we come to it in our time. This is a somewhat difficult time of year for me. I'm sure most of you probably saw my wife's post. We lost a child on July 1st. It was the only miscarriage we ever had that we know of. But that was a hard time for us. And then most everybody who's here in this congregation knows that I lost my father on July 5th. And back in 2018. So it's a lot of things go through my mind this time of year, and that's part of why I decided to speak on this, was because we have to take captive our thoughts. We have to take control of what we're thinking about, because it's very easy for us to get discouraged, to have a pity party for ourselves, or to be upset with others. Before I jump too far ahead, I guess I'll just get started here. Like I said, hopefully everybody will be able to get something from this lesson and be able to apply it to your lives, or at least think about it in your daily walk, how you can better control your thoughts and control your actions. So Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from evil. A fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolish, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Parts of this verse describe me very well as I was a young man. I was very quick-tempered. And I was very foolish, I would say. And I'm sure there's plenty of people in my life who could back that up. But it talks about being prudent and considering our ways. Think about the path that you're on. Think about the direction that you're headed. And it's important for us to do that. We need to make sure that we're using good judgment in our lives as we choose what path we're going to go on. And I know we've talked before about one of the most important decisions other than obeying the gospel in your entire life is who you choose as a spouse. That affects your entire rest of your life. So we need to make sure you're using good sense as you consider that option. Considering the careers that we go into or the schooling that we get. Each of these things have an impact on our lives, and we need to use God's wisdom as we address those and as we come to those decisions. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So this passage tells us where we need to keep our focus. We need to be living our lives thinking about the end goal, which is eternal salvation with God, being in heaven with God. So I have three things I'd like to look at that we're not to focus on. We're not to allow to control us or to have sway over us in our lives. And the first one is fear. Genesis chapter 3, we read, "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" So they had sinned. They had eaten what they should not have eaten, and it caused them to hide from God. Fear is a very real thing, and it plays a big part in a lot of our lives as we go throughout making decisions. Fear can make us choose to do the wrong thing over and over again, especially if we have fear of the unknown. If you don't know what's going to happen next, you may choose to do something that is contrary to the right decision. We can trace a lot of our fears back to sin in our life, or trace it back to failing to trust that God means the best for us, has a plan for us. We may think about, God's taking too long for me to reach my goals or establish my path, when we all know that God's timing is perfect. So we need to not let the fear of the unknown control us. Fear is often, Proverbs 1:31 tells us to obey God. If we obey God, we will be saved from our sins and have no need to be fearful any longer. We should discipline our minds to trust the God of our salvation. And we can read about that over and over again in the scriptures. The great things that God had done and the things that he has fulfilled, the promises he has kept. Now the next one is bitterness. Bitterness is an interesting thing because it can take root in a lot of different places in our lives and for a lot of different reasons. We can be bitter about decisions we've made. We can be bitter about ways that people have treated us, or we can even be bitter towards God because we feel like he has allowed things to happen to us that aren't fair. But as Mikhail brought up in the table this morning, we know exactly what we deserve, and God has done nothing but be fair to us and merciful to us if we've been obedient to the gospel. We need to keep that in our minds as we look at this. So in Job chapter 7, verse 11, he says, "Therefore I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak of the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." I think a lot of us choose this path in our lives. We choose to have bitterness, and we choose to tell everybody all about it. We're not seeking the right aspect. And we know that Job had a lot going on in his life, had a lot of heartache, and this was one of his kind of rants towards God. But we need to make sure that we keep our lives in perspective and remember to keep God's love for us in perspective as well. Proverbs 14:10 says, "The heart knows its own bitterness, and the stranger does not share its joy." I don't know completely, but this passage to me talks about somebody who stuffs it down. And I am very much one of those people. If I am sad, or if I've been hurt, or if I'm angry, I stuff it down as long as I can. And I think it's what it's saying here when it says the heart knows its own bitterness, and the stranger does not share his joy. In other words, it's things that we keep to ourselves that maybe we shouldn't. If we're bitter about something, we need to take it to the Lord, for one thing. But we also have brothers and sisters in Christ who can possibly help us along our journey. And the number one thing is take it to God, to not let bitterness swell and develop inside of us. Because if you are someone who stuffs down, you know exactly what happens. You can only stuff it down for so long, and then you erupt. You explode, and oftentimes we hurt those in our presence that we have no intentions of hurting. Acts 8, starting in verse 21, "You have neither part nor partiality in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound in iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." I was thinking about this passage when Travis was giving his lesson this morning. We see that Simon's heart wasn't right, and it says here it is because of the bitterness in his heart. And one of the best things that we can do is pray and have others pray with us that we can overcome that. I don't know exactly everything that was going on in Simon's life, but I know that this is right after he had asked to purchase the gift of the Holy Spirit so that he might use it. And we see that that was not the right thing to do. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." This is, in the New Testament. It's talking to us about things that we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to take part in. And almost every one of these things is encouraged in our society, in the world that we live in. I know in the world of school, as a student, these things run rampant. They're encouraged to put other people down, to build yourself up, and to join different groups. And it's not much different in the factory world. It's kind of like, sometimes being in a factory is a lot like working in the kindergarten class. It's the attitudes are a lot the same. And it may be that we're everywhere. I've been in the factory for many, many years, but we just need to make sure that we're taking captive our thoughts, that we see it for what it is. We see that that is sin, and it's not something that we as Christians are supposed to take part in. We need to control our mouths, and we need to control our thoughts. Hebrews 12:14-15 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." So this is kind of how we can handle that bitterness. We need to show love to people. We need to interact peaceably with them. Even if they've wronged us, we can start the process of forgiveness. And that way, if they come to us and ask for forgiveness, it can be freely given because the process has already been started. And the next one, I'm not going to read the passage I had for it because it's kind of lengthy, but the next one was regret. I don't know a single person in this world who has lived very long at all that does not have regrets. Decisions that they've made, bad ideas that they've had, words that they've spit out that they can't take back. It's important for us to think about that before we make decisions. One of my favorite passages, and I'm sure I've shared this with you before, is in James, and I don't have it. I didn't cheat and write that one down. So James chapter 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I think this is very much how I've tried to grow in dealing with situations. I've tried to bite my tongue a little bit longer and listen a little bit more intently before I open my mouth. Because that's not instinctual for me. So with our regret, do we constantly let our past mistakes and sins continue to plague us and make us doubt? Do we constantly revisit those problems that we've had or those mistakes that we made and dwell on them and think about them and think that, how could God love me because of the sins that I've had or the mistakes that I've made? We need to remember that God is just and faithful to forgive us if we repent of our sins. In the passage I was going to read was from Joel, and it's talking about how God is going to restore the land. After they had sinned and after they had been punished, God's talking about how he's going to restore the land and make it fruitful again. And the same is true for us. If we sin, we must repent and ask for forgiveness from God. But if we do that, he is just to forgive us, and he will bless us if we continue to walk in his ways and keep his commandments. We must condition ourselves to turn our sin and regret over to God and repent of it. Then we must focus on turning to God and digging into serving him. Because if we're thinking constantly about how it is that we can serve God, then we won't be dwelling on those past mistakes and letting ourselves get more and more depressed or more and more angry about mistakes that we've made. We should turn and focus on pleasing God. All right, so those are three things that I think that we need to not let control us. Don't let fear make you make decisions or change the decisions that you know are right. Don't let fear overcome that. If it's right to stand up and talk about what God has done for you and to call something that is sin, sin, then don't let fear prevent you from doing that. Don't let bitterness take seed in your heart and grow and grow and cause you to be a a person no one wants to be around, and a person who is not willing to share the gospel, or no one wants to listen to if you do try to share the gospel. And then the third one was regret. Don't let our regrets and our past control us and make us think that we can't be of service to God. So, things that we can focus on. Faith. Mark 5:36 says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, only believe. So Jesus is telling him that if you believe, things will be okay. Faith takes discipline of mind, not to let the things of this world consume us. Every day the world is in our face. We see sin all around us, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better, and I don't think it ever will until Christ comes again. But I know at my workplace there's been battles over this last month because of what the national remembrance of Pride Month was. So there was issues at work. We actually had a guy get fired because of issues that came up because of this. And so constantly the world is getting, I don't know if it's getting more and more evil, but it's definitely getting more and more in our face. And we need to make sure that we have faith that in the end we know who wins, that God is going to win, Jesus will come again, and those who are faithfully serving him will have a place with him. We must not dwell on the things that we cannot change and keep our faith in Jesus. We can't change everything. We can't change the past. We can't change the future. Only thing we can change is what's going on in our little bubble most of the time. If we are living faithful and obedient lives to God, we can be assured of our salvation. We must make sure that we're keeping his commandments and walking faithfully for him. And the next thing is hope. We talk about hope a lot, and we know that we have hope because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Without it, there would be no hope. Without the resurrection, we would be hopeless. If Jesus had just died like every other religious leader in history, then we would have no hope. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that has been brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed by the corruptible things like silver and gold, for your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So we need to think about that and remember that in our day-to-day lives. I know it's pretty easy to get overwhelmed as we go through a tough day at work and not think about how my sins have been forgiven because Jesus died for me, because God loved me enough for that to happen. When there's conflict at work and that's at the forefront of your mind, it's hard to remember that I need to conduct myself worthily of being called a Christian. I need to think about what I say. Even though this person may be acting like a toddler, I don't need to react like a toddler. I need to walk like I have faith in God and that I have been saved and forgiven of my sins. Hope in the world is based on wishful thinking. Thinking that someday things will be better and we will find what truly makes us happy. I don't know how many times I've heard that if they could just win the Powerball, and I've even said it myself, if I had money and I didn't have to worry about financial things, how much easier life would be. But we all know that that's not necessarily true. Mike talked about not too long ago about how it's very difficult for someone who is rich to focus on the fact that they need God and allow themselves to be humbled in that aspect. But I hear it a lot, that all I need is just a whole bunch of money and all my problems will be gone. Well, all those problems may be gone, but the new problems are probably going to be worse. And it's that way with everything. All I need is this promotion, and then I'll be happy at work. Or all I need is, when you were younger, all I need is for this person to notice me and maybe go out on a date with me. All these things are little and minute, and they don't carry on for eternity. What does carry on for eternity is our service to God and our souls with Him if we live faithfully. Biblical hope is not wishful thinking. It is based on promises that God has made. And we can see time and time again that God keeps His promises through His Word. We can see when He made the promise, and we can see when the promise was fulfilled. So that we can go back and we look at the promises that He's made that haven't been fulfilled yet in our lives, and know that He's not a liar. He's not going to change. He's going to fulfill those promises for us. We must discipline our minds in the aspect of hope that we receive from obedience and service to God. So just because things may not go right for us in this world, the problems may still happen, discouragement happens, sadness happens, grief happens, but don't lose sight of the hope that we have in God. And remember that we must be obedient and faithful to Him. It's going to be very difficult living in a world that is constantly in our face and we constantly have distractions. Things just keep piling up on us. So when we need to take time and spend time with God, we need to pray. We need to make sure that we're faithful to come to worship services. We need to make sure that we're attentive and we listen to God's Word as it's spoken, and that we spend time in God's Word on our own. That way we may have the right answers when the time comes, or we may be able to search the Rolodex of our mind and bring a verse to the forefront of our mind when we're just feeling really discouraged. If we train our minds in the biblical hope, we will be able to apply that hope and God's promises to our current situation. You know, we talk about Jesus in the wilderness, how He answered Satan with Scripture. Of course, He was the Word, but we can hide that Word in our hearts as well, and we can have that ready when the time comes for ourselves. We must not be hopeless and allow the world's influence to paralyze us from living our best lives for God. And then the last one, we could go on for days and days and days for this last one, but it's love. Romans 13:8 through 10 tells us, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up by saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." I think we all know that, and yet it's very hard for us sometimes to love those who intentionally hurt us, or those who intentionally talk bad about us. It's hard for us sometimes to love others, but love is very much a decision. You know, you hear about love at first sight, but love is a decision. It's not a fleeting thing. We have to choose daily to love others. We choose daily to love our spouses and our children, even when they do things that are wrong, or even when they hurt us. We need to make sure that we carry that forward to other people. We don't have to accept everything that they do. We can talk to them about things that they've done to harm us, but we still need to show Christ's love to them and not condemn them or harm them in return. So again, I'll sum it up with, we need to make sure that we bring every thought captive. Don't let fear, regret, and bitterness control you, and make sure you continue to grow hope, love, and faith, and that will help us along our Christian walk and help us in the ability to share the gospel with those around us. Because I don't think I've ever met a single person who didn't want loved. A lot of times when our children act out, it's because they need love. And when you've been in a group, I used to teach an Awana, and when children acted out, a lot of times they needed discipline, and they needed the discipline because they needed to know that you cared enough about them to discipline them. And we're the same way. We need love. We need discipline, and God makes sure that He does that for us so that we remember that God loves us. So a lot of the things that happen in our lives, they may be hard for us to deal with at the time, but if we keep it in perspective and remember God's promises, we will know how much He loves us, and we'll be able to share that with others. So if you have not had that experience, if you've not been obedient to the gospel, and you're not living your life faithfully right now for God, we're going to stand, and Ben has picked an invitation song. We'll sing it. And if there's anything that the congregation can do for you, I encourage you to come forward as we sing this song.
877.